Revelation Revealed, Part 3, Section 24, The Letter to Laodicea, Revelation Chapter 3, Verse 14 through 22. Verse 14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, or the community of believers in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of God's creation, that is Jesus. What Jesus is about to say to these people really does need to be considered by us today. Those who believe that this letter is written to an apostate church in church history that exists at the end of this age, I can see their point, because much of the modern church, including evangelicalism, is becoming what these people were. So let's take a look at how Jesus viewed these people. Verse 15, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. The point to be made here is that Jesus is very angry with these people, and he is going to spit them out of his mouth. He says, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth, or some translations have the word vomit. Now, why was Jesus so upset with these people? It's because they were lukewarm. How did this lukewarmness show up in these people? Well, the text tells us in the next verses. Verse 17, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. These people were very wealthy, self-sufficient. They put their trust in their wealth, in what they themselves have accumulated. In fact, they really left the faith that they had in Jesus. So this is what Jesus thinks of them. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. They are pretty strong words. This is how Jesus views those people. I think this gives us a hint of how Jesus views the prosperity gospel that is prevalent in much of Christendom in the West today. Riches do not determine whether you're in or out of God's will, whether you are blessed or not blessed by God. If riches determined such things, then Paul would have been out of the will of God and hardly ever blessed by God. So Jesus tells these people in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. In contrast to the wealth that they had accumulated on their own, Jesus is saying, I have something that will make you rich. Our riches should be found in Jesus, not in worldly possessions, as was the case here. Verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. This is a verse that once got some press in Christian circles, but gets very few press releases now. Jesus loves us. If he loves us, he will discipline us. Discipline is not judgment. Judgment, as we see or will see in the book of Revelation, is not discipline. So we cannot confuse the two issues. Discipline is meant as a training. The text goes on, so be earnest and repent. Repentance, you can't lay aside repentance as much of Christendom has done today. Verse 20, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." This is how I picture this. Jesus is standing at the door of this community of people. He's knocking on the community's door. Any individual in the community who wants to respond to the knock can come to the door and eat with Jesus. Jesus is not going to restore the church. He's going to spit that church, that community, out of his mouth, as he said earlier. But he gives time for people to leave that community and come to be with him before he does the spitting out of his mouth. That's how I view this verse. Jesus is not saving the church. He's saving repentant individuals within the church. 21, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches," or to the community of believers. So once again, I have gone through this pretty quickly, these seven letters. I have much more detail on my written commentary on my website, so you might want to check that out. But as you read these seven letters, much of what is said applies to us today, individually and collectively as the church. How you understand these seven letters prophetically, well, that is debatable. But laying aside the debate, there is much that you and I can learn from them. Now we'll head into chapter 4 and get right into the judgments that will come upon this earth.